I just want to share a brief message with you. Matthew chapter 2. Have you ever taken the time to read the accounts of the events surrounding the birth of Christ in the Gospels? If you do, you'll find a lot of little tidbits that perhaps you didn't know before, and they're all very significant. Luke is perhaps the most prolific writer. He records many things with a lot more detail than did the other gospel writers. But Matthew writes in Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, and it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they departed, when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Now, in this account of Matthew's gospel, he shares some details about these wise men, or as they were referred to in some ancient writings as the Magi, when they came to Jesus and presented gifts. Now, there are several things that stand out. We often think that there were three wise men, but the Bible doesn't say how many there were. There could have been two, could have been 20. Amen. But because they gave three different gifts, we assume there were three. The Bible doesn't tell us how many there were. The other thing that stands out is that Jesus was not a baby anymore. He was a young child. Amen. This is perhaps some year and a half to 2 years after Jesus was born. That's why Herod was diligent to find out exactly when they saw this star. The other thing was that these wise men came to the house, not a barn. Are you with me? Came to the house where the young child was. And they presented gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I just want to talk about those three gifts just for a few minutes. Those three gifts say a lot about Jesus' purpose, about why he was born. One of those gifts was myrrh. If you didn't know this, myrrh was one of the spices that was used in preparing bodies for burial. In John chapter 19, there's the account of Joseph of Arimathea coming to Pilate and begging Pilate for the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, released the body to him. But Joseph took that body, and then Nicodemus came. Remember Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night? He came and brought spices, myrrh and aloe, about 100-pound weight, and they then proceeded to prepare Jesus' body for burial by wrapping it with these spices. The significance of that gift of myrrh was these magi, these wise men, had enough insight to know that this child was born to die. If it were not for Jesus' death and his redemptive work, we'd have no reason to celebrate his birth. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. He was born to die. Mm-hmm. Frankincense is another one of those gifts. It is a spice that was used by the priests in the Old Testament at the altar of incense. And they would offer up sacrifices mixed with frankincense. And there are many references to Jesus as being our high priest, especially in the New Testament writings. In fact, let me show you one of them. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Notice verse 11. It says, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us."
Amen. Hallelujah.
Jesus came as our high priest. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 15, it says this, "And it is yet far from evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifies," speaking of this priest that is to come, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Verse 24 says, "But this man, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost who come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." These gifts spoke of the purpose of this young child that was born as Messiah. You know, the word priest in Latin means bridge builder. And so, in effect, Jesus was born as our bridge to God the Father. I often tell people there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
One mediator, not five,
Amen.
One.
Amen.
God made it so simple.
Mm-hmm.
Gold was another gift that was given by these wise men. And gold speaks of royalty, a gift that is fit for a king. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Now, the word wise men, magi, as some ancient writings refer to it, refers to, if you will, men of learning, men of science. They could have been the great science minds of the day. You know, it also has implication of other things, but I don't believe these men were involved in sorcery.
Amen.
Certainly not.
Amen.
But notice Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And here is a sight that John saw when he was caught up to heaven. And he said in verse 15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice, there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, and which are to come, because you have taken to thee thy great power and have reigned." Then in Revelation chapter 19, and I love this passage, John saw something. Revelation chapter 19, beginning with verse 11. He writes and says this, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture or garment dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath and the wrath of Almighty God." Verse 16, "And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know that when Jesus was in his earthly ministry, he said his kingdom was not of this world. But there is a day coming when he'll descend from heaven as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. These three gifts that these magi brought to Jesus when he was a young child speak of his purpose and have great significance. Myrrh spoke of his death. We honor him today as the one who died for us. Frankincense speaks of his priestly ministry. We honor him as our bridge to God the Father. And gold speaks of his royalty. We honor him as one who rules and reigns in our lives and in our hearts. He is the one who will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. So much power wrapped up in those few verses of Scripture. And many times we hold fast to tradition. The tradition may not completely be accurate. But if you study the Scripture, it'll open your eyes to a lot of things. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glad you came out this morning. Amen. I hope you enjoyed the program that our children put on. But before we dismiss, we do have some refreshments next door. Most of y'all know that. We always have something good. But let's stand together. We want to pray.